Amen. I can't wait for the day. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. We're going to read the first six verses. So in verse 1 of chapter 32, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play." Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd use me to preach your word. Lord, help us to learn something from your word. Help us to draw closer and let's heed the warnings that we see in your word. Lord, I ask that you'd help each one of us to focus on you. Lord, put away the distractions. And Lord, help us to be attentive to the Spirit tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. So the children of Israel are, they're beneath Mount Sinai, and Moses is on the mountain receiving the law of God on the tables of stone. And see, the children of Israel, remember, they had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. But then God came along, and he used the plagues, those miracles upon the Egyptians, and those children of Israel would have seen every one of them, including where they were spared, and all of Israel was plagued and things like that, and all the way up until that last one where they would have heard that night the cries throughout all of Egypt as the firstborn were slain all across the land there. And then as they came out of Egypt, they would have remembered standing before the Red Sea with the water in front of them and Pharaoh's army coming close in behind. They would have crossed over. Remember when God parted the water and they crossed over on dry land. Then they turned around and watched Pharaoh's army to be swallowed up into the water. Their enemy destroyed. And they would have already by this point started eating the manna every day. They had already drunken from the rock. And in fact, they already had a victory in this land. Remember the Amalekites, where as long as Moses' arms were in the air, they prevailed. And when they started to fall, the Amalekites prevailed. That already happened. And in fact, in Exodus chapter 24, Moses is taking his fifth trip up this mountain in Sinai. The first few times that he went up there, it was first to hear a covenant of God, then to prepare the people to meet God. Then he got the Ten Commandments on the third trip. And then he's got the various instructions and laws and things like that. And he is making his fifth trip up this mountain, and he is leaving Aaron in charge. And Exodus 24:18 tells us that he was there. He was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So here we have all of these events that were going on. God had miraculously saved them not too much before that. We're not talking about years and years that have passed. We're talking about this is the same year that all of this had happened. It was fresh in their minds. And you may be thinking, why are we going back to this? Well, you know, listen to 1 Corinthians 10:7. It says, "Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." So it's quoted in the New Testament as well. This is Paul telling the Corinthian church, you got to be weary, because just like they fell into idolatry there in Exodus 32, he said the church can fall into it the same way. I know sometimes we get burdened down with things like the calf, and this is a popular story, and we've heard it time and time again. Maybe you've taught it for Sunday school, but there are truths in the Word of God that we can use all throughout. So the Holy Spirit's telling us to be careful when we look at this story, because we can do the exact same thing. You know what, as I was looking into this, I think one of the big things, I think sometimes people get stuck in the eating and drinking and rising up to play. But you know what scares me the most about this story? Is how, remember I said all of these things God had just done. Just had done these things. And there they were, fresh in their minds. But realize, Moses is up on the mountain for 40 days. And look at how quickly the people dismiss God from their heart. Look at how quickly they turn to idolatry. And they turn to doing something, even though God has done so much for them. That should scare you, shouldn't it? That should scare us and should be a warning and put a healthy fear in our heart that it doesn't take long for one of us to turn from God and be totally back out into the world. It doesn't take that much.
Yeah.
And it's sad because the devil knows it. And he's out there time and time again trying to get people to walk away and quit trusting God. So what do we see in the verse 1 of that passage? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, he took too long. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us." See, the mountain, we know Mount Sinai at this time was burning with fire. There's loud trumpet noises. They can hear voices. We know this from Hebrews. But, you know, they're up here and they don't say that Moses is dead, do they? They said he just hasn't been here in a while. We haven't seen him. We don't know what happened to him, you know, as if he got lost. But basically, they are tired of waiting for Moses to come out of the mountain. That's what we see right here. They're tired. And you know what the problem is? As they're tired of waiting for him, I think we see something that is so true right here. We see that the majority of people never really had a real relationship with God where they trusted God themselves. That's what we see. Because what's happening? They are getting all worked up. They're afraid. They don't know what to do because Moses hasn't been there in a while. That's what's going on right here. Moses, he is the one that they had been following. They had put their trust in this man. And see, here's the problem. People put their trust in a man that knows God and in a man that follows God. And basically, it's like hooking up a train. The problem is, when the man is gone, what do? They turn to idolatry.
Right.
That quickly. Yeah. That quickly.
Right.
You know what's sad is, they had watched Moses when he was up against Pharaoh. And the problem is they attributed the victory to Moses against Pharaoh. When Moses was giving them the instructions of the Passover, they equated the Passover as Moses, right? As his power. And then even as they were following Moses through, as they left Egypt and through the Red Sea, they were putting it on Moses. And so they're following Moses instead of the great I Am. And as we look back on this, it seems ridiculous, doesn't it? It seems ridiculous that they would think that it is Moses' power when Moses stood before God and said, "I can't do this. I can't talk well. I can't do any of these things." Yet the people put their trust in Moses. And let me tell you, the reason, I think one of the big reasons this verse is in the New Testament that's talking about this story as well is because we have got a lot of churches today. We have got a lot of Christian people today that are putting their stake in a man, putting all of that effort into a man. And the man could be good, could be a godly man, could be following God just like Moses. But the problem is, God doesn't have stepchildren. He doesn't have grandchildren. He doesn't have a friend of a friend. He wants a relationship directly, you and I. He doesn't give me instructions for you, and he doesn't give you instructions for me. He gives us messages, but I'm here to tell you, if you really want to know what God wants in your life, it's not going to come just from the Sunday morning or Sunday night sermon or even Wednesday night. It will come between you getting alone with God and you getting in his word and you getting that relationship with him and you trusting him. Because I hate to break it to you, there will be a day when I'm not here. There'll be a day when Jimmy's not here. It could happen sooner than you and I would ever think. The day the train accident was, I never would have imagined that happened that day. And we were all taken by surprise. But that quickly, we could have needed a new pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
But then the question is, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You going to give up? If you're putting a trust in me and I'm gone, you will give up. You will turn to the world. You'll look for another man. And that's what they did. They didn't turn to God. They turned to Aaron. If Moses is taking too long, if we don't think Moses is coming back, we need another man to follow. And they turn to Aaron and say, Aaron, we need you. That's exactly what you see right happen. You know what the problem is? Is that, you know, you may be thinking, well, Mike, I don't think I do that. Well, let me ask you a couple questions about yourself. I don't need you to raise your hand, but I want you to be true to yourself. You know how this problem can happen in us? Let me ask this question. Have you ever traveled to a church service or a special service or made a decision to go to a church or something based on who was preaching? Have you?
Yeah.
You're following a man. Right? I've done it too. We need to be expecting God to move. Not saying that because so-and-so's there, I'm going to get blessed. Because the Holy Spirit's there, I'm going to get blessed.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's standing by. We've seen that time and time again. Haven't we? We have seen God move in so many different people. He used me when I just started preaching. I didn't know hardly anything about preaching, and God was able to use me. That wasn't because I had ability. That's because the Holy Spirit had the ability. And that's the exact same thing. We get stuck in that trap. Well, let me ask you this. You know, Jimmy and I, we've been hitting on this pretty hard. To read your Bible every day, right? Over and over again, we continue to say, you've got to do that. You've got to get in God's Word. You've got to study God's Word. Now, let me ask you this question. If him and I quit saying it, would you quit reading the Bible? Are you reading it because you don't want us to be disappointed? Or are you reading it because God says you need to do it?
Preach it, brother.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the difference right there. That's the difference between a man and following a man and following God. And we can go down the line. It's not just the Bible. What about coming to church? Do you come here because you know if you miss one of us or someone around here is going to say, hey, where you been? You're more worried about letting us down. What about God?
Yeah.
What about God?
Right.
I don't want to build a church where I have to beg and plead people to do what God expects them to do and what is clear in God's Word. I want a church surrounded with people that have a fire in their heart because Jesus saved their soul, and they're saying, listen, I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm not working my way for anything else, but I am working because God has called me to do it. He has asked me to do it. He has paid for me. I am bought with a price, and I want to do His will. That's why you want, whether we're here or not, whether we keep going or not. Because what if I quit tomorrow? Does that give you a license to quit? No. If you're following me, you'll want to quit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out here we visit. Oh, I used to do this. I used to do that. Oh, but somebody let me down. Somebody quit on me. Someone I never thought would quit did it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Right.
Any man, any person, any one of us can fall at any time. We are this close from falling. There is a spiritual warfare going on all around us. And a lot of times we forget it. But we are this close to letting our guard down. And Satan just, that's what he wants. The problem is, once that man's gone, they had nothing. They would have, here's the problem, what do you do? If they were putting their faith in him and he's gone, now you're forced to put your faith and do it yourself. And they were stuck. They couldn't go any further. You realize Moses didn't bring him out of Egypt, God did. We know that. Moses wasn't even going to be able to take him to the promised land. They didn't even know that yet. Moses was gone too long and they panicked. Do you know what? If you put your trust in, and we're talking about pastors a lot tonight, but it could be anyone. Father, mother, spouse. You see it all the time. When the spiritual strong person in the family's gone, then they fall apart. That's because they're putting their trust in that person.
Right.
I'm telling you what, no matter what happens, you got to keep going. That person doesn't want you to quit. They want you to keep going. And they're in a panic. Listen to what they talk about Moses. The man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. They thought Moses was the one that brought him out. So here's what happens. They say, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us." So this is some of the worldly habits they picked up when they were in Egypt. They wanted a God that they could see and touch, right? That's what this world wants, something that they can touch, they can see. You know what else the other trick about an idol is? You make an idol, whether it's with your hands or your imagination or whatever. We could say this is the idol today. This Kleenex box right here. Well, it's Meyer, it's generic. But this Kleenex thing right here, this is our idol now. We've created it. We're going to worship it. Guess what? I'm going to ask the Kleenex box, how do I have to live? Is there certain things I'm allowed to do or not allowed to do? You know, is there anything off limits? How about this? You know, if I'm tired today, do you care if I just do whatever and do my own will? Or how about this? You know, I want to work more hours. You see what the Kleenex box doesn't care, does it? Neither did the golden calf.
Right.
They built that idol, and then that idol didn't have any standards. That idol didn't care how they lived. That idol didn't care what they did. It didn't care if they danced around it. It didn't care if they slept around it. It didn't care if they just built it and set it over there and didn't look at it ever again. And that's what this world wants. You know what the problem this world has with God is? God has standards. God has a law. God has expectations. He has defined what sin is. He has defined what holiness is. He has put rules and laws in His book, and He has done this for our good. But you know what the problem is? We don't like that.
Yeah. Right.
So all we got to do is we say, well, God has all this. I don't want that. I want to do my own thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to build my own idol. And that's what happened. That's what we have. We can't create an image to depict God. And He told us not to.
Right.
But you know what? I see Aaron doing something right here. I think he makes a compromise to the people. Oh, why? Because they said, "Up, make us gods."
Yeah.
Plural. They wanted to be just like Egypt. All kinds of gods. One for everything.
Yeah.
And Aaron says, "Why don't we make one? Just one golden calf." Right? So he's trying to at least get them a little better than they are, right? Instead of just going full-blown Egypt, why don't we just make one god? Because the God of Israel, He's only one, right? It's one God. It's not a whole bunch of gods, it's one. So let's just make one golden calf instead of a whole farm of golden animals. Let's just make one, right? And we'll worship it. You see what he's starting to do? He's starting to compromise. And then down in verse 4, and he received the gold and he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And he said, "These be thy gods." So he's trying to convince them that the one calf is plural, right? "These be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Here's the thing. He's got this God that's not telling him what to do, not telling him how to live. But the sad thing is, remember, all that gold had come from Egypt.
Yeah.
Remember, just before they left, God said, "You borrow gold from them." And they willingly gave it as they said, "Get out of here. We don't want you here anymore." So all that gold that God had pillaged from the enemy, right? All that gold that was the victory, and now they're using that gold that God had blessed them with, and they are using it against God. That's what we see. And that's what we've seen over and over again. And now they're going to make this image toward Him. So there they do. You know what's sad? That money belonged to God.
Yeah.
And instead, they're going to make it and use it for their own idol. That's sad, isn't it?
Right.
We do that. We do that too. We take what God's blessed us with, and instead of giving it back to God, just a portion of it that He asks, we put all of it towards something else, something we want. I'll move on. Verse 5, "And Aaron saw it, and he built an altar before it, and made a proclamation, and said, 'Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.'" So look what he says, verse 5. Aaron saw it. He built an altar before it, and he proclaimed a feast. You know what men would rather worship? Remember I said we get stuck on the golden calf? Well, here in verse 5, he doesn't name the golden calf. He just says it.
Yeah.
You know what Aaron does? He said we need to build an altar in front of it. And we need to worship it. And this is what happens. Men, over the years, and women, they would rather worship it than the true and living God.
Yeah.
It. Right? What is it? It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
It's whatever you're putting there.
Yeah.
It can be anything.
That's true.
And they want to worship it. And then call it a feast to the Lord. That's the sad thing. They're worshiping. They're acting like they're worshiping God. And this isn't even godly. They made up their own God. They invented their own feast. They created a worship service. And they figured out how they were going to do all these things. And you, what makes it even worse, I don't think I even read it. It might be verse 6. Look at verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow. Oh my goodness. Do you hear that? That happens a lot of times Sunday morning. I'm driving to church. We're coming here. And I see people that have rose up real early to do something. To worship that idol they've got.
Yeah.
To worship it.
Right.
To stand before it. To honor it. To give their money towards it. You see that? They were excited about it. Getting up early the next day.
Yeah.
To eat and drink and play. While their God stood there silently. No requests. No work. No commandments.
Yeah.
But no power either.
That's right.
You know what I see in Aaron?
I see a leader that I see a lot in this land. Oh, he's a pastor.
But he's inclusive. He's contemporary. He's changing with the times. Whatever the people want, he gives to them. He maybe steers it a little bit. Instead of a whole bunch of calves, he just makes one. But it's just as bad.
Yeah, right.
It's not much better.
Yeah.
And then on top of all of that, saying what a wonderful worship. If Moses would have never come down there and they would have finished the day, imagine at the end of the day all the people talking, what a wonderful worship service we had. I'm sure God is pleased with this. Look at all this wonderful time. Isn't God great? And what is sad is you have got people walking out of church after church this morning that the same thing happened. There was no truth there. There was nothing real there. There was no power there. They had just some golden calf that they were worshiping. You know, not a literal one, but a figurative one. And there they are standing before tradition, standing before invention, standing before all of that, and had built an altar in front of it and danced around it and had a wonderful time, eat and drank and rose up to play, and then said, what a wonderful time we had. Yet there's no conviction there, no changing there, no just living your life as if nothing had ever happened. Well, the sad thing is, even though this is what's popular today, even though this is what may build a big church on the corner, I am here to tell you that what Aaron should have said is no.
Yeah.
When they came to him and said, Moses has delayed his coming, we need to build a God, he should have said no. What we're going to do is we're going to pray for Moses, and we're going to pray to God that God watches over him, and we're going to ask God what he needs us to do in waiting, and we're going to just trust in God. And that's the problem. See, when you put your trust in a man, you run into trouble when he's gone. But I'm here to tell you, you can put your trust in God and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down, even though men may. And I'll tell you what, if he moves a man from one place to another, then you can say, praise God. I hope you do well over there, but we're going to keep serving God where he's put us, right here. And I'm here to say something, that I'm glad that God has used men here over the years. I'm glad he's used me in a
leadership role. But I'm telling you what, I would be a failure if I look back at all the sermons, all the time I've been assistant pastor. If people followed me and put their trust in me, it would be an absolute failure. But if you put your trust in God, then I say, praise God, you're able to look past me. You're able to look past Jimmy. And you can look to someone that'll change your life, that'll help you, that'll lead you no matter what happens. Yes. You can be all by yourself and you can cry out to God and He'll say, I'm still here. I know Moses is gone, but I'm still here. I haven't left you and I've got work for you to do.
Yeah. You know what was sad? Moses was getting instructions on the tabernacle.
Yeah. There was work for them to do if they would have just waited a little longer. If they'd have just trusted a little longer. But that's the problem. He didn't tell them no. The people didn't have any real trust. But I'm here to tell you, if you put your trust in a man, if you put your trust in a woman, you can put your trust in God. You can trust God. I'm here to tell you, He won't let you down.
Amen.
He won't let you down. You know what will happen when you do that? The standard will immediately get higher. Right? If you're looking at me and measuring to me, it's not that hard to hit my standard. You look to Him, the standard just got tougher.
Yes. Amen.
But guess what? The access got unlimited. I don't want you to call me at 2 a.m. unless there's a real emergency. Right? But you can call Him all you want.
Amen.
Right?
Hallelujah.
I'm glad. I'm thankful for people that God's put in my life. And I'm thankful that God, I'm even thankful it took me a while, but you know, Brad was my pastor for a long time. And there were times that I fell into this. I was hanging on his faith and his trust in God. I didn't like it when God said He called him away. And the fact that he lives just right down the road. I can't tell you how much I wish we could just serve God together like old times. You know how you just reminisce about old times. But then I look back and I say, thank you, God. Because you know what happened not long after that? I took a step myself in faith.
Yeah.
Say, God, I will preach your gospel. And I'm not sure I would have done that. Maybe I would have, maybe I don't know. But I'm thankful that God said, look, I'm right here. Same thing happened to Isaiah, right? In the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple.
That's right.
What happened?
That's right.
Man got out of the way. Isaiah was finally looking at God.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're at today. I don't know who this touched.
But I'm here to tell you, put your trust in God.
Amen.
Yeah. Put your trust in Him.
Amen.
He's put leaders. And we need your prayers. We need your support. We need your love. But I don't want you to worship me.
Yeah.
I don't want you to put all your stake in me. I'll let you down. I don't want you to put all your stake in Jimmy. He'll let you down. I promise we will. I want you to put everything in God.
Yeah. Amen.
Everything in God.
Right.
And He will lead the way.
That's right.
Even when times get tough. Even when things are dark. Even when he's sitting in a hospital bed, can't talk to us. Right?
That's right.
We moved on, didn't we? Only because we trusted God.
Yes, amen.
And I'm thankful for that. But you know what? We need to pray for these churches around here that have got Aaron leading them. And the people listening to the people. When we're talking about revival in this land, it's talking about changing that too. You think, Mike, that seems impossible. Aaron didn't want to change until he was confronted.
Yeah.
Right? He loved pleasing all the people. But then when he got confronted, he's like, whoa, they made me do it. They made me do it. Right? I can't wait till the Holy Spirit touches some of these people.
Yeah.
And they realize the truth.
Amen.
And they just trust God. Maybe you know somebody that has put their trust in a man and has let them down. We need to pray for them tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And say, God, reveal yourself to them again.
Amen.
Show them that you've never let them down.
Yes. Amen.
Show them that you still care about them. You've got wayward loved ones and children and friends. And maybe you're saying, well, Mike, as a parent, I messed up. It's in the past.
Yeah.
We got to pray for them now.
Yeah, right.
And you know what? No matter how bad the past is, even if they're running around naked in the tombs, frothing at the mouth, going crazy, one visit to Jesus Christ changed everything.
Amen.
He was clothed and in his right mind.
Yeah.
That's the kind of power we need to tap into.
Yeah.
And I want us to start to stretch our faith and our spirit and our mind that when we talk about revival, it's that type of revival.
Yeah.
You take the hardest case, you take the hardest situation and put it up against God and saying, well, obviously God can take care of it. That's what we need to settle
in
our minds.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then say, God, and then start putting names to it and start saying, God, you've done it before. We need you to do it again.
Yes.
I ask everyone to stand.